Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Happy Detroit Pistons playoff game day here on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. And you're hearing the voice of your sports director, Austin Shattuck. JW in the morning will be joining me shortly. And we had a great weekend. Speaking for myself, I graduated from CMU with a Bachelor of Applied Arts with a major in sports broadcasting and a minor in journalism. And ding, 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 that's what I'm doing right here. But enough about me, Jeremy. I want to hear about your weekend.
Oh, don't forget our brand new sponsor, thanks to them, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. And your future is looking bright. My future is bright. And so is the Pistons' future is bright.
Mm-hmm, and certainly they are. But before we get into the Pistons, I want to talk about some Isabella County teams, spring sports, baseball and softball. Got about two more weeks until playoffs, the end of May, Memorial Day, or the weekend after Memorial Day weekend, because Memorial Day is the 25th on Monday, and I believe the playoffs start the 28th, which is that Friday or 29th, somewhere around there. You get what I'm saying. But a lot of good teams around the area, especially this last week. Mount Pleasant Baseball, Coach Eppel and company, took home Buck 92.3 Team of the Week 6-0, four-game sweep over Midland High. The Chemics could not handle the Oilers, and two of those games were played at Dow Diamond, the home of the Great Lakes Loons, on Wednesday last week, I believe, or maybe it was Thursday. Mount Pleasant Softball went 4-3 with a sweep over Bay City Central. Sacred Heart Baseball, 5-1, swept Freeland, which is a powerhouse baseball team in the area.
That team is still rolling.
Yeah. Coach Hartman and company, I assume you're talking about, for the Irish. Sacred Heart Softball, 3-1, sweep over Merrill. Beale Baseball, Coach Ancliffe, who we will have on next week with the Beale City Aggies, 6-0. They swept and won their tourney over the weekend. Beale Softball went 5-1. Clare Baseball, 1-3. Clare Softball, 3-3. And then Shepherd Baseball, 2-2, followed out with Shepherd Softball, 2-2. So some pretty important teams around the Isabella County area throughout this past week. Got some tourney wins, some sweeps, and they're just building up those momentum before we enter playoffs here at the end of the month.
You know, we talked to Coach Hartman and Coach, you know, all these coaches around here that we've been talking to lately. I think it's still a bummer that Mount Pleasant, Sacred Heart, and Beale City have to meet in districts.
Yeah.
Why can't they meet farther down the line? You know, two great teams from our area have to meet in districts.
And it happens every year. It's baseball and softball, Sacred Heart and Beale City. And that, I believe, if don't quote me on it just yet. We still have some logistics to figure out. But myself and Jeremy will be broadcasting that district round with Beale and Sacred Heart for softball. It coming up to end the month of May. So we will be there, but don't quote me on it just yet. We got some logistics to figure out with the MHSAA and, of course, Beale City, the host. So, but looking right now that Jeremy and I will be there broadcasting to start off our playoff run.
That's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I've never broadcast a baseball game or a softball game. I've announced them, you know, hey, next up for so-and-so. You know, I've announced at
PA announcing?
Yeah, yeah, PA announcing at the game, but never done it on the radio, so it'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
And I'm the captain of the ship, so we'll be definitely doing that and, you know, filling in you guys from there when playoffs start here at the end of May. But speaking of playoffs, Detroit basketball, they're in the middle of the midst of their playoff run right now, and they're got a tough game tonight here in less than an hour against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But so far, they've been able to handle business, at least at home, Jeremy. 2-0 at home. And, of course, they lost their last game 3, to the Cleveland Cavaliers. on Saturday. I did not catch any of that game. I'm sure you probably didn't as well because you were building the deck.
Yep.
And I was graduating, so we just got scores and point totals for game three. But we'll start with game one. I mean, Pistons, Jeremy, they win 111-101. They had a full starting five effort. And I remember when we closed the show last week, we were mentioning that Cade Cunningham needed his Robin,
yeah,
and we weren't sure who that was going to be. Well, we found the answer, and it's not who we thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Jalen Duren. It's Tobias Harris.
Well, Tobias Harris and also Jenkins.
Yeah.
Jenkins coming off the bench had a phenomenal, game two, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had like 14 points, and so Jenkins is right there, too. It surprised me.
Yeah, certainly. When J.B. Bickerstaff, who, by the way, is up for Coach of the Year, awards will be announcing soon, probably to end the month of May. Jenkins and Cade, when they play together on the court, that's two of the five on the court at one time, they are pretty good. Cade gets finally off the ball a little bit. Jenkins with that point guard-ish duty to bring the ball up, and then you insert either Duncan Robinson as the wing or Tobias Harris as the forward, and then either Beef Stew, Jalen Duren, or B-Ball Paul, who we have been seeing in this series with Coach Bickerstaff against the Cavaliers. That's kind of the lineup that we need to kind of see moving forward if the Pistons want to make a deep run. Cade, we know what he's going to bring this whole entire playoffs, starting with game one against the Magic, the whole season as well. He's 20 plus points a night. Tobias, we're certainly going to know what he's going to be bringing the last couple of games. And then we need that third scorer. Can it be Jalen Duren, or is he just going to focus on being that defensive ball handler?
You know who else we didn't mention yet? It was Ron Holland. Ron Holland's a solid ball player, too.
Yeah. And, yeah, he certainly is.
So, Pistons have got some talent. And that's, of course, they are the one seed in the East. Mm-hmm. They finished, 60-22 on the season. Mm-hmm. So, they do have some ball players. That's what's neat about it.
And what they have is a great – it all starts from the top of the totem pole, whether that being from Tom Gores or Trajan Langdon. I consider it Trajan Langdon from what he's done with his squad. He didn't really get that home run hire or home run acquisition throughout the middle of the season during the trade deadline. But he didn't need to. I mean, the Pistons are doing good with what they have, and they're building from within. I mean, they sign Danish Jenkins, who we just talked about, from the Motor City Cruise. They get him off of the two-way contract. They bring him on to a normal contract. They do the same with Tolu Smith, I believe his name is. He hasn't played at all in the playoffs, but they're doing that. They're building from within the team, and it is definitely showing on the court, whether that's at Little Caesars Arena or whether that's wherever they are on the road in this great United States. And tonight they just happen to be down in Cleveland. And off air, Jeremy, you mentioned something funny about what's the only good thing about Ohio right now?
The only two things I like in Ohio are the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's the only two things I like about Ohio.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, what's one bad thing? Well, many bad things, but what's the biggest bad thing about Ohio? It's got to be the football team down there, right?
Well, that and their chili. The Skyline chili is awful. It's the worst chili ever.
Oh.
Skyline chili, yuck.
So I don't want to try it then.
No, it's awful. It's bad. I tried it once, and I took like one bite, and I'm like, this is awful. This is terrible stuff.
How many times have you been down to Ohio?
I lived down there for a year, unfortunately.
Ooh.
But I came back to the great state here, and I'll never leave Michigan again.
Well, I'll hold you to that, Jeremy, because if I see you moving out of this great state of Michigan, I'm going to remember this, clip this moment and say, you better not have moved out of the great state of Michigan. And why would you when we have the Detroit Pistons right now on a little bit of a heater? I mean, unfortunately, they lost game three, 116-109. But before we move to game three, we got to get to game two first. 107-97 win at home. They have now won three straight at Little Caesars Arena, and they're bringing Game 5. That will be on Wednesday, if my math is correct, Wednesday, this couple days from now. They'll bring Game 5 back to LCA, hopefully with a little bit of a lead, a 3-1 lead, instead of it being 2-2. Depends on the outcome tonight. Am I right about that, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think it'll be 3-1. I think they'll win tonight. It's neat seeing like Duncan Robinson and them get into James Harden's head. Because, mm-hmm. You know, they're just going up and nudging him a little bit, and he's pushing them. And
yeah.
And so it's been fun. Like you said, and I didn't see game three either because I was busy.
Yeah.
And by the time we got home, I was like, oh, I'm tired. So I went to bed.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun to watch the game tonight. I'll turn it on and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and they're on NBC tonight, so we'll probably have the main broadcasters of Ian Eagle and maybe Robbie Hummel with them. I'm not sure, but either way, it'll be a great game, no matter who the broadcasters are. And I'm sure Cade will give us the 25 plus points a night, and he'll have his Robin that'll show up with Tobias Harris. The one thing that Cleveland has on their side right now is their home game tonight.
Yeah.
5-0 at home in the playoffs so far. They swept the Raptors at home. They didn't sweep the Raptors on the road. They won that series 4-3, but they lost all three games on the road, and they won all four games at home. And then, of course, they won game one of that series just a couple of days ago on Saturday, and now they're trying to keep that, you know, undefeated streak at home alive tonight with another win. But for game three, we didn't watch it, but I watched some of the highlights, and apparently Cade Cunningham and his team, well, really it was Cade Cunningham, got the Pistons back into that game in the latter half of the fourth quarter. It's just that James Harden hit a clutch shot at the end, and that kind of iced the game to send the Cleveland faithful home happy.
Yeah, for one game. We'll see what happens tonight.
I like your mindset on that. I do too. I think the Pistons are on a little bit of a heater right now. Took them a little bit of time to get going. Probably game three is when they started to get going against that Orlando Magic series.
Well, like we talked before, though, they were off for a whole week mm-hmm. before they played a game. And so it's like, you know, sitting down on the beach or, you know, playing somewhere. I don't know. But having a whole week off is not fun.
Yeah, it certainly isn't, because it doesn't rev up your body, I guess you could say, to play playoff level basketball. I mean, you're seeing playoff basketball right now. Something that we haven't mentioned at all throughout the NBA playoffs is the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, they're on 10:30 game tonight against the Lakers. LeBron James against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is cinema. But the Thunder, they haven't lost a single game in the playoffs, and they have a chance to sweep and advance even closer back to the NBA Finals tonight with the win over the Lakers. And then somebody else who else sweeped just yesterday, actually, yesterday afternoon on Mother's Day. By the way, happy Mother's Day. Happy late Mother's Day to all of our loyal mom listeners here. But anyways, I digress on that. The New York Knicks swept the Sixers, which was unexpected. So
144 points they put up yesterday. And it's not even overtime.
Yeah. Offensive juggernaut.
144 to 114.
Yeah,
so a crazy amount of points being scored by the Knicks.
Yeah, if the Pistons get through the Cleveland Cavs, which I think they can, it'll be a good redemption series against the Knicks. Because if you remember correctly, last year, eliminated by the Knicks at home, I believe it was. And the Knicks, they got a little bit better, I would say. Pistons might have digressed a little bit, but they're still the one seed. And, you know, a chance for a trip to the NBA Finals most likely will be the Pistons versus the Knicks.
Yeah.
But either way, Jeremy, I will say, whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference at all is not winning the finals. I think Western Conference has it.
Oklahoma City is just a juggernaut.
Well, either them or the Spurs.
Yeah.
San Antonio.
Well, San Antonio lost last night, so that series is tied with Minnesota 2-2.
That's a barn burner series.
So
I will agree.
It's going to be a good one. But Oklahoma City, I mean, because the Lakers aren't a pushover.
No,
but
they're down 0-3 though.
Yeah,
against the Thunder. I think it's over.
They're getting pushed over pretty good right now by Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I think it's over. I'm not gonna lie, Jeremy. I think that series is over tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lakers. Luka Doncic, and he's not even played throughout the whole playoffs, which by the way is not Mamba mentality at all.
No.
And I do want to say about Mamba mentality. Jason Tatum sitting out Game 7 in that opening round against the Sixers. The Sixers ended up beating the Celtics. I thought the Celtics were going to go represent the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
But Jason Tatum, coming back from an Achilles, he sat out the most important game of the season, Game 7, that whole game, and he considers himself to be a Kobe Bryant-esque player.
Yeah.
No. You took that off the list. Kobe Bryant does not sit out. Jason Tatum does.
Yeah.
And that's not a good Mamba mentality at all.
No. Kobe, I would put Kobe as like probably my top three in basketball all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. LeBron James is, he's up there. He
would be top five.
His statistics, undenying it.
The longevity of his career.
Exactly.
And I'm not a LeBron fan, but I got to say, he's done everything the correct way. You don't ever hear about him in the media being in trouble. He married his high school sweetheart. They've stayed together through all of this, you know, publicity and all that. And so,
couple of kids playing basketball.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, I not a LeBron fan, but
gotta respect him.
I do respect him. Yeah,
I look at his body too. Yeah. I mean, he being that old, his body is like a temple.
Well, and he could have played tight end coming out of high school in the NFL. You know, yes, he was the drafted number one overall by Cleveland, but he could have played tight end for, you know, any NFL team, and he would have been phenomenal at that.
I know Dan Campbell would have loved him on the line for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And he like I said, his body's built like a
linebacker,
tight end.
Yeah, he could have went either way. And obviously he chose the right way because the longevity of playing in the NBA compared to the NFL is a lot longer. So, but yeah, it's been a great, you know, playoff season, and Tigers are kind of doing their thing with all the injuries they have. So,
yeah, but I guess to wrap up the NBA talk, that kind of brings up the speculation with LeBron playing tonight at 10:30.
Yeah.
If they do lose tonight, is this his last game in the NBA? He won't know, obviously.
Well, I think his contract's up after this year, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, oh yeah, so. I'm sure from here on out, he'll be on one-year contracts because he doesn't know what his body, his injuries are going to entail. It'd be cool if he got to play with his youngest son, Bryce James, or... Bryce is in the NBA right now. Bronny James.
Bronny's in the NBA.
I get those mixed up.
Bronny's on the Lakers right now. So
he's played with Bronny.
Yep.
He might want to play with Bryce, but Bryce has got a little bit longer to...
Yeah,
to,
I don't know how many more years LeBron's going to be able to put in for it, but...
He won't know tonight if they happen to lose tonight, the Lakers, that being. I know the media, I know the reporters will ask that question because that's just how stingy some of these reporters are. You know, is this your last game speculation kind of thing? He won't know. He'll talk it over with his family, but that's if the Lakers lose. They might force a game five, but I don't see that happening tonight.
No.
I think SGA and the Thunder get their win tonight. And I see Cade Cunningham and the Pistons getting a road win tonight, bringing it back home for game five for a chance to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday night. And speaking of winning, Shepherd Baseball, they're doing a lot of that lately. They just wrapped up a series with the Clare Pioneers earlier today, and we had Coach Weiss join us tonight to talk about all things Shepherd baseball, and that's coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues, right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Humility. To live with humility is to recognize that we are all equal. We all make mistakes. We all like to have our success rewarded and to put others before ourselves. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
With the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. You're listening to the voice of your sports director, Austin Shattuck, and joined alongside me, as always, sitting right across from me, is JW in the Morning, Jeremy Wood. And this week's special guest is none other than third-year head coach for Shepherd Baseball, Coach Mitch Weiss. How you doing today, Coach Weiss?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. I know you guys are off to a great season so far, and I know you're going to continue down the stretch as we approach the midway point of the season coming up. But before we dive into the 2026 campaign, I want to kind of start off with some background information on yourself. You started your career off playing for the Blue Jays back in high school. What was the main difference maybe between playing high school baseball and now coaching high school baseball?
I would say the big difference really is the time put in. As a player, you put in a lot of time and constantly at the field during the season. I mean, hours after practice, doing in extra work and things like that. And then the off season as well. But as a coach, you're there a couple minutes before that, and you're there a couple minutes afterwards after everything's done. And that's where us coaches have most of our conversations, is before or after the fact. So the time put in is a little bit more as a coach.
Yeah, and well, when you were a player, I mean, it kind of propelled you. You stayed in the baseball world. You went off to CMU, and after graduation from CMU, you stayed local around this area as an assistant coach and as a head coach throughout your tenure as well for Shepherd. What went into your decision of staying local in the Isabella County area?
That's something personally that I kind of always wanted to do. I love the small town feel, the village of Shepherd, and that's something personally I wanted before I even knew I wanted to be a teacher or a coach. And it's something that really drove my decision after seeing a few local teachers that kind of went away and then they came back. I was like, well, I may have to do something like that, but it's something that I definitely can do personally, and it's something I'd be all right with. And I was fortunate to stick around and be able to help coach after I graduated, and kind of found that love for coaching and what I wanted to do. And quickly into that, I figured out I wanted to do teaching, and finding that and getting in and being at CMU, I fell for the physical education and health side of it just as quick as I did coaching. That was a big thing that brought me back. And then I knew I wanted to stay in the area if I could. And it just so happened to work out for me.
Yeah, that's awesome, Coach Weiss. It sounds like, you know, being part of this local community is what you wanted to do all around. I mean, part of your coaching career, it was a short stint as an assistant coach with the Mid-Michigan Lakers, another local team around here, just about 5 minutes from Central Michigan. What was it like kind of coaching a baseball team during that COVID pandemic? I know everybody had to really go through it, but I'd like your perspective on how you managed to assistant coach a baseball team during the COVID pandemic.
It was a learning experience for everyone, but even more so at the time of my life. I was 21 years old, 22 years old, and I got to learn a lot of the way things were handled and dealt, and I got to experience it firsthand and just kind of see, I guess, without the pressures of it per se. And so I got to take a lot of that with me and be able to grow from that and learn. And from a baseball side of it, it was huge to be able to be around the great minds that I was, both the coaches that I was around, but also, I mean, when you're around college baseball players, they play a lot of baseball. And to be able to experience that and learn and grow from them and see how they develop and their routines and just how they go day to day and figure out how to improve. Like, there's a lot of growth in that for me.
Who were some of your coaches on your staff with you that those years when you were at Mid-Michigan?
Steve Robinson, he was the head coach. Kai Andrews was there. Dave Damon, Zach Reed, Scott Pickens, and then myself. That was our coaching staff.
What kind of league was the Mid-Michigan Lakers in? I'm assume they're still in the same league, but I'm not really familiar with Mid-Michigan. Are they like, they're not Division One, or are they NAIA?
They're JUCO. They're the Division One JUCO. The league had Kalamazoo Valley, Kellogg, Grand Rapids, Lake Michigan, Muskegon, and then there was a couple others down in Indiana, Ohio. Ancilla, I believe. I don't remember them exactly. We lost some of those series that year because of the COVID stuff, and so we didn't get to see our entire league during that time frame.
Okay. So it sounds like it was a bunch of kind of local teams. I mean, you mentioned Kalamazoo, of course, Mid-Michigan as well. So, and then a couple teams in Ohio.
No.
Either way, it was still an impressive stint as an assistant coach for college baseball team. And then it propelled you to bring your career back down to your alma mater for Shepherd. I mean, your first year coaching the Jays was back in 2023, where you went 11-15, but you had a district win over Carleton. What made that season and playoff win so special for you in your first year coaching back for your alma mater?
That was huge for the win and the postseason. I don't remember the number exactly, but that season, I think of our 19 losses, I think 12 of them were by two or less runs or three or less runs. We were in a lot of baseball games that year, and we were very young. It's all but three from that team are now on the varsity roster. So we were freshmen and sophomores. We had a first year coach. Like, we were going through it as a whole, and we were extremely competitive. The record doesn't always vouch for that, but I mean, we played some teams down the stretch that we competed with, and we were playing really good baseball. We just didn't always get the W at the end of it. That's what's propelled our last two seasons of being able to finish some of those ball games and find a way to get the win instead of the loss. And so that first year as a coach and that first year with this program for me and the program was huge. There was big growth and big learning from that.
Yeah, and some, like you said, sometimes, it's, especially when you start, it's better to have a young coaching staff and a young player personnel with obviously your high school freshmen, sophomores, maybe on that junior level as well, so you can have the time to coach them up and develop them as not only baseball players, but as human beings as well. Because, you know, as you're seeing now in your third year, you guys are excelling on the diamond, and most of those guys are probably still with you on this team. So it's good to have that camaraderie with your, not only your players, but yourself and your coaching staff as well. Am I correct with that?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know exact hours, but we have spent a lot of time and a lot of hours together over the last 3 years. And I've thought about that lately of just like, it's not always going to be like this. You're not going to have a group for 3-4 years per se. It's going to be every 2 years, probably going to be a little bit different of a group, where this group is very special on that aspect. And it's an awesome group. We got 16 guys on our roster, and they're a joy to be around every single day. And it's starting to get to the point where we poke and pry and push each other a little bit, but it's the right group and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they certainly are proving that they are the right group as well, because like we mentioned, this year you're off to a great start. But before we dive into this year again, I want to start with your second year. Last season, 24-11 finish, beating up on Freeland in the districts, but losing to Swan Valley the same day, essentially, last year in the playoffs. How were you and your team able to keep building from season one to season two?
I think the big building was finally seeing some growth physically, but also mentally on a lot of aspects, because the game is so brutal that as freshmen and sophomores, and then being sophomores, juniors, and seniors, we were able to kind of compete more from a physical standpoint, but also from a mental standpoint. For the last 2 years, we play extremely clean ball defensively, and that's a big part of our success is on the defensive side, that we pitch for contact, we get ground balls, we're not going to strike you out a ton, but we find a way to stay in ball games with our defense. And then finding a way, said it a lot for this year, is we got to find a way to score 4 runs a game. We got to score, once we score 4, we got to score 4 more. And that's a big success from how awesome our pitching and fielding has been, that the bats, we don't need to go out there and score 10 runs a game like we have. I mean, we're averaging 8.6 right now. We don't have to do that as much. We know that it's there when we need to. And that's been a big part of it, is just that physical and mental growth over the last couple of years. And last year, that was a big growth for us. I know the Freeland game last year in the district semifinals, we kind of got punched in the mouth a little bit, and we had to kind of overcome. And we were down 4-2 going in the last inning, and we found a way to scratch off 7. And that showed some toughness and some mental toughness there of not giving up. And that's something we've always done. We find a way late in games to give ourselves a chance. And a lot of times that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and it sounds like, especially with that Freeland game, I mean, you know it yourself, especially experiencing this last year, playoffs is a new season. I mean, it's a one-game kind of mentality. Take it one game at a time. I mean, going up against Freeland, who is a pretty good team, I can't remember what division they're in. They're obviously in the same division as you guys, but either way, going up against a Freeland Falcon team that is pretty potent, especially in high school baseball, and then clawing your way back, like you said, down 4-2, and then winning that game eventually was a pretty good accomplishment, especially only in your second year. But moving on to finally this year, heading into this year, I know a lot of your players, this is for pretty much every high school team, a lot of your players played winter sports, maybe even fall sports as well. But if there was an off season for you at the high school baseball level, what did that kind of entail? I know, like I said, a lot of your players probably played basketball, but was there a lot of weightlifting sessions in the off season before we started with game one?
I would say, I don't know the specific number, but I would say over 3/4 of our team play 2 sports, and most of them play 3. So it's been, the off season is a trickier time. We do a lot of things in the mornings when it comes to baseball. We'll be in the gym for 4-person workouts 4 days a week. I will be during the winter, and 2 of those days will be meant for pitching, and 2 of those days will be meant for off season hitting. And that's what our off season consists of from a baseball side. We do a great job. We offer strength conditioning, throughout the school day. It's a great class for our students to take, and a lot of our athletes that do that, they can fit it in their schedule. So we are in the weight room constantly, and if we're not then there's time after school that athletes can get in for an hour and get that strength conditioning, that speed and agility. Our off season, it's in the weight room for all of our athletes, and it shows great dividends as they get older and get all the sleep and the food they need to be able to build physically.
That's great to hear. And I know, obviously, dealing this with all the teams in our area, the weather wasn't the greatest to start the season. And it forced a lot of teams, probably your team as well, to not really see the action on the diamond outside during the start of the season. Is that true for your team as well?
We battled it just like everyone. We get outside as long as it is not raining at the time of practice starting. We try to be outside because as much as we can into our long toss program and our catch play. That's a big staple, is we feel that if we can get out, we can get long toss, we can strengthen our arms, keeps arms healthy, keeps arms doing what they're supposed to, then we can get better by doing that and finding time. We have a great outdoor batting cage that, as long as it's not raining at that time, we can get a ton of swings and get practice in there. We'll find a dry spot to be on. So that's huge for us, is we get outside as much as we can and we take care of it there. We also had a week in Florida that was, it's a great time for the boys from the team building side of it, but also we get so much repetition and a ton of chances down there that it's very crucial for our success. As soon as we come back, we're ready to go. We've had five days outside already and seen live pitching and balls off the bat, and it's crucial for our head start into the season.
Hang tight. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
The best sports show in Central Michigan, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming at buck92.com, continues next in just minutes.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Respect. To live with respect is to give mutual considerations for shared and differing ideas, as well as for the world around us. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW, let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
As promised, here's more of the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Yeah, and I mean, playing in Florida, too, over spring break, that's got to be a key part to a successful season. And speaking of successful seasons, you're off to a smoking hot start. How have you been able to execute that so far on the diamond?
The big thing that we've been reiterating is just every day's a new day. Every day's a chance to, like, take two, as we say. We try to find a way to stack those wins up just daily. And we're trying to each day prepare in a very similar fashion. I mean, looking at some of our numbers this year, we're averaging 8.6 runs a game. And if you look at our scoreboard often, it's because we're chipping in one this inning, we're chipping in two this inning, we're chipping in three this inning. We got zero in this one, but we're going to get two in the next one. Like, we're finding a way to be successful by just scoring as many runs as we can. And we prioritize that with, if we got two strikes and we got guys on base, we can't be striking out. We got to find a way to put the ball in play. We're limiting strikeouts. We're at about three a game, and we're getting on base because we're walking or getting hit by pitches a ton. We're averaging almost five a game there. So finding any way to get on base and then putting the bat on ball when we got guys on base and bringing them around has been offensively our huge success for the first part of the season. We talk about that four runs a game, and then once we score four, we want to score four more. So that's been a big start for us.
Yeah, and that's obviously a big key to winning games, is getting your guys on base, whether that's by small ball or getting hit by a pitch or earning a walk and limiting those strikeouts, like you said your team is doing. But kind of a structural question for you is, what kind of plan do you have going into game day on how you craft and draft your starting nine and maybe your starting pitcher on any given day?
A lot of it has to do with pitching. We start with, we have a plan going in each week of what our pitching staff will look like, kind of who's going to get a start, who's going to be our relief for that day. If we're able to save someone on pitches, where can they go later in the week? Like we kind of put up a draft when it comes to pitching. And then after that, it goes who's behind the dish, who's behind the backstop for that day, those two games. And then from there on out, we're trying to find our best nine hitters, not necessarily those that are getting the most hits, but we got to find a way to score runs. So a lot of times we go right to that run column. And if you're scoring runs for us, then you're helping us win baseball games. That's a big part of it. We prioritize touching home plate. And that's a big part of it when we put together what we're looking for. And then after that, we go, who's going to help us defensively? Because if we're not scoring four runs, we got to find a way to limit those from scoring four runs. So that's a big part of, I guess, our game plan of putting together that the plan and the lineup for each game day.
We've talked to some other coaches as well, but what does your JV program look like? You said you got 16 on your roster. Do you have a JV program? What's the JV program look like?
We got a JV program. We got 12. On our JV, 5 sophomores and 7 freshmen this season. So this is going to take credit to our youth program in the area, both the Little League and the Bandit program. Like Shepherd has always had a strong youth and development program, and we enjoy baseball. I mean, the Mid-Michigan area in general. Baseball is huge. I would say it's one of our top sports in the Mid-Michigan area for many years. In the last 15, 20 years, if you look at a postseason run, there's a lot of Mid-Michigan teams amongst the divisions that they play in. We compete against Mid-Michigan areas all the way growing up, Mount Pleasant, Beale. We're always playing those teams the way through, and it shows once it gets to the high school level. I know a few years ago, before I started coaching, there wasn't a JV team 1 year, and that was kind of unheard of in our program. No, we have a JV team, and they're pretty split amongst freshmen and sophomores. Yeah,
that's pretty impressive, because I know there's a lot of teams around in the area that don't even have a JV team. So being that you guys have one, that just helps build the program even better for once you get to the varsity level.
Absolutely. Our coaching staff down there does an awesome job. They kind of take what we start the season with. We kind of practice together for the first few weeks, so everyone can kind of be on the same page. They take that, and they're trying to grow and develop so we continue to have this success for years to come, not just with the class that we have now. We want this thing to kind of keep building and kind of keep it going like it has been in years past for Shepherd Baseball.
Coach Weiss, we really want to thank you for coming on our show today. We really appreciate all the insight you gave. It sounds like your program has a bright future, and obviously we're living in the present right now. You guys are off to a great start. We've reiterated that throughout this whole show. Keep the good faith going with you guys, trying to get another win in the district round and maybe even a little bit farther coming up to end the month of May. And Coach Weiss, good luck with the rest of your season, and thank you for coming on our show today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Coach Wise. You have a great day.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Miss part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.